Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We want to turn our attention to mortgages. Well, adults like us have taken mortgages from banks before.
Yep.
There are a lot of terms that come up, you know, when it comes to mortgages. You probably heard SIBOR, SOAR, or even LIBOR, right?
Yep. Yeah, although LIBOR has some pretty important historic connotations.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We certainly will. But there's a new one that we're going to have to get used to here in Singapore. It's the Singapore Overnight Rate Average, otherwise known as SORA, S-O-R-A.
And
It's important because it's being pushed to become the main interest rate benchmark for Singapore's financial markets by 2024.
Yeah, I was in the news about a week ago, MAS talking about it. So the creation of SORA, the aim here is to have this more transparent loan market pricing for borrowers, and it makes it more efficient risk management, you know, in terms of risk management for lenders as well.
Yeah, and we're going to discuss the kind of whys and wherefores of that just ahead. Not only that, it's also part of this global shift away from the scandal-tainted LIBOR, which we mentioned just a moment ago, which will be phased out after 2021 as the SOAR uses US dollars LIBOR in its computation.
You know, talking about all of that, it makes me ask myself, I've got a mortgage. What does that mean for me or even someone who wants to take up a mortgage?
Exactly. And is that something you're going to discuss with your mortgage broker or your relationship manager at your bank?
Good point. Yeah. Good point. Well, let's try and get some answers from Eugene Liao, rates strategist at DBS. Eugene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, I'm feeling great. How are you guys?
Not too bad, sir. Thank you for asking.
Very good. Thanks. Eugene, so it's up to you to help dissect what can be a very technical subject, you know. SORA is this backward-looking overnight rate as opposed to a forward-looking reference rate that's often used for loans in Singapore, such as SOAR, where the interest rate is determined at the start of the interest period. Now, that might sound like gobbledygook to some people, but can you explain and make a bit of sense of it for everyone?
Yeah, so it's a bit hard to wrap your head around it, right? So maybe we'll start with a technical definition of what SORA is. So SORA is a volume-weighted average rate of unsecured overnight interbank SING transactions in Singapore. Right, so it sounds really technical already. But in many ways, it is similar to SIBOR, with the banks being the dominant players in the market, and there are no weird FX dynamics that can skew the rates. But like you said, when we talk about compounded SORA in arrears, and that's when things get complicated, right? Because we are used to things like 3-month SIBOR, 3-month SOAR, 6-month SOAR, these kind of term rates. And you know the rate that you will pay at the start of your loan period. So, for example, in a 3-month SOAR transaction, you know what you're going to pay in 3 months' time right now. But for example, if we change to a 3-month compounded SORA in arrears, we will only know the rate we will pay at the end of 3 months, right? So this is a big change that a lot of businesses and if eventually retail loans also get pegged to this kind of rates, then this is quite a big mindset shift that we would not know the rates at the start of the payment period. We will only know what rate we will be paying closer to the end of the payment period.
Okay. I mean, offhand, when you say, you know, you would know that the difference or the main difference being already knowing what you're going to pay in 3 months versus waiting till the end of 3 months, wouldn't people want more certainty? How is this going to be more beneficial or better?
Yes. So that's why a lot of businesses are struggling with this concept, right? Because we're used to planning our cash flows, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, if I want to know how much money goes out of my coffers in 3 months or 6 months' time, I don't want to know it weeks or months later, right? So it's a bit of a struggle. So the whole moving away from the LIBOR issue, unfortunately, creates this kind of problems for everyone, right? Because we want a rate that is transacted. We want it to be transparent. And we are trying to remove certain aspects like credit risk or term premium. So when we remove all these things, we are left with an overnight rate.
Okay.
Right. So, and we don't have a way at this point to effectively come up with a term rate. So a term rate would be something similar to a 3-month SIBOR, 3-month SOAR, but we don't have something like a 3-month SORA. The next best thing is a 3-month compounded SORA in arrears. Again, it is a workaround. I think eventually there will be a way to try and do a swap, such that you will get some certainty. All these things are just discussion and in the works. Because like we say, this transition is about midpoint and it will take a few more years. So give the regulators and the banks and the customers time to digest and find a more efficient way to work around.
Yeah, and there's certainly a lot to digest here. What I'm quite curious about, and this is the overall follow-through of all of this, I mean, this can be quite technical, but the question then becomes for every man on the street, every woman on the street, is what's going to happen to my mortgage if these changes are not made? So let's just look at that from the two angles, right? Right now, how does it work with mortgage? And you've sort of explained some of that. How will it work with mortgages if we remain pegged to these benchmarks?
The best way to think about it is that a lot of mortgages and SME loans, quite a few of them are pegged to SIBOR. Therefore, it becomes a bit of a problem if SIBOR ceases in a few years' time. Right. So I think the good news is that a lot of mortgage loans are pegged just maybe 1, 2, or 3 years. And after that, they revert to floating. And there are fallback clauses for better in the loan documents. So in this case, we'll be looking for guidance from the banks to what will happen if SIBOR disappears. There will be a waterfall methodology such that if SIBOR is not available, we will fall back to another rate. If that doesn't happen, we will fall back to another rate. So you usually won't be left in the cold. And I'm sure the different banks will be engaging customers on this issue. So yes, there will be fallback. So if there's no more SOR or no more SIBOR, you will fall back to another rate. And we'll be looking at a rate that is hopefully more robust. Ideally, there will be a transition into a SORA link rate, and then we will avoid this messy issue of what rate do I look for, what rate do I reference to. So the ideal case is everything goes to SORA. If SORA is not ready by that time, we will fall back into another rate that should be stipulated in the loan document.
Okay. How big a role does internationally used benchmarks have to play? I mean, is this part of like a global shift? I mean, we did have that whole fixing scandal with regard to LIBOR. Are we just trying to get ahead of the curve here in Singapore?
I think everyone is shifting. It's not just Singapore. It's a global thing.
Right.
But you realize that there's just no one-size-fits-all, right? So LIBOR is just interbank rate, and then practically every country has it. So it's sort of standardized. There's an interbank rate that is not collateralized. But the moment we shift into the new risk-free rates that are transacted and transparent, you take into account the financial system of each economy. So, for example, in the US, we're looking from LIBOR to SOFR. And SOFR itself, the collateralized rate, and that's because the repo market, which is the collateralized rate, is very, very developed there. Whereas for Singapore, our repo market is less developed. But instead, we have the SORA. And the SORA has actually been around since 2005. So we have a long history. We know that it can be fairly stable, and the banks are very familiar with it. It's just that the customers, the end users like us, like companies, are not familiar because we only know SIBOR and SOR. So it is really an education process to get everybody familiar with this perceived new rate.
4 years to transit.
Yeah. But what's interesting, Eugene, is I'm sure that if you ask the average person who comes and is interested in getting a loan, or a small business owner who's interested in getting a loan, the last thing that they toss and turn at night about is this going to be SIBOR or is this going to be SOR? You know, it's something, it's a vernacular that's not very familiar with most customers and consumers. So I know that the Monetary Authority of Singapore has been trying to get people on board as to encourage adoption of SORA, but it's taking a while for it to pick up. Why is that? Is that because it's so difficult to educate people on this?
I think it's a multifaceted, right? So for example, even within the different working groups in the banks, right, we have to get in touch with people working in the retail sector, working with companies and the treasury. So within the banks and the financial systems, we have to get everything ready first. And then as we progress, we also try to reach out to customers. We hold our own workshops. So I think it is a journey. We are on schedule. We also know that the LIBOR schedule has not changed. So the last LIBOR fixing may be as early as end 2021. As a result, we have to adjust, right? If globally everybody adjusts, we also need a risk-free rate that meets global standards, and that is what MAS and different regulators in Singapore are trying to push towards. So we are going to get there. It just seems a little bit fuzzy right now, and as with all new things, we'll take some time to digest.
Yeah, but there have been initiatives, right, by MAS. What have been some of those?
Yeah, so some of the more interesting things that they have done, actually from the end user perspective, is that they started publishing compounded SORA numbers, right? So since 2005, you have overnight SORA. Overnight SORA is may not be very useful for people looking at loans, right? So you prefer something like a three-month compounded SORA. Yes, you wouldn't know the rate right now. You might know it a couple of months later, but at least it is a reference point. So what is the 3-month compounded SORA right now? You can find it on the MES website. You can get a sense of how this rate moves with SIBOR, with SOR, and then you realize that they're quite close, right? It's just an issue of timing and getting used to a new term. So they are trying to promote it in other ways, such as pushing banks to quote derivatives contracts. So, for example, we have interest rate swaps that's based off SOR, and now we have them based off SORA. So that's a big step because companies can now use them to hedge their loans, right? If you're worried about interest rates going too high, you can technically hedge them using SORA swaps. There are things for investors and banks as well. So, for example, the MAS is going to issue SORA-linked floating rate notes. Now, that it could be something very interesting for banks to manage their books with. And it is also a price discovery process because with this, you could technically back out some kind of term forward-looking rate for SORA. So where will SORA be in 3 months, 6 months? You could use the FRNs or floating rate notes to try and figure out what these rates would be. So again, many, many different steps to try and encourage the different parts of the market to move away from SIBOR and SOR towards SORA.
I guess there's a lot to get used to as well. I mean, you already have quite a number of banks here already undertaking SORA derivatives transactions. DBS is one of them, of course, and several other banks. One of your competitors also has launched Singapore's first home loan that references SORA. I am guessing there are a lot more pilot programs or pilot products, SORA-related products set to come out the second half of the year. Where is DBS with regards to this? I know you mentioned that you guys are on track, but with regard to the home loan issue, is there something that we can expect from DBS sometime soon?
It's a bit difficult for me to comment. I think generally, I think a lot of banks offer loans that are pegged to fixed deposits.
Okay.
So I think at one point, everything was dominated by SIBOR, and then a lot of banks switched to fixed deposits. So if you go to fixed deposit rates, we don't have to worry so much about SIBOR disappearing or LIBOR disappearing, these kind of issues, because it is a bank rate, and then the bank is going to stay around. It is quite likely that many banks will start to issue SORA-based loans. Whether or not they will push it out to retail, I think it's a bank-to-bank issue.
Sure,
but for many of
the
corporate loans, I think it is inevitable. Previously, corporate loans, for large corporates, they're mostly pegged to SOR. For the smaller ones, some of them are pegged to SIBOR. But all these, again, will change. SORA will be the main interest rate benchmark for us.
We will see in time. We've been speaking with Eugene Liao, who is rate strategist at DBS. Eugene, thank you for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.